Tuesday the 25th of November, Kovzai Rav Cheshvan, Rabbi Avraham Rockmill, Surviving in Turbulent Times.
To thank the Gaboyim for allowing me to come here and join with you today, I'd like to address an issue which is on all of our minds, if not in all of our pocketbooks, and it's all over the papers, and it's all over the world. Starts out with a credit crunch, then he moved to a new world, meltdown, recession. The world's turning upside down, and it affects us all. I'd like to share with you some words from the Lochanan Wasserman, who addressed these issues right on, straight on. First of all, he said a very interesting thing. We think, you know, when you're talking about a global crisis as we're facing today, one would think that perhaps we're affected, but it's not a Jewish thing per se. It's not a Jewish thing per se. He says over from the Pasuk, says in the Hazinu, Zechor Yemot Zolam Bino Shnos Dor Vador, Sha'al Avicha B'Yageitcha Zekenech B'Yomulach. You can seek from our Zekenim, from our Torah Kedosha, the understandings of what happened in the world and what's going to happen. Says he that we have, and I quote, B'Chabalas Chazal Misinai Kedoshim Shabo B'Sod Hashem B'Dibreim Chipas B'Fehezbel Shnos Dor Vador. And they gave us, he says, Yediyah Achaz Gilu Anu B'Torah Shebiksav. As it says in the Pasuk, B'han Chil Goyim Elyon Goyim B'Hafridu B'nei Adam Yaksiv Gvulos Amim B'Mitzvah B'nei Yisrael. He says, B'han Chil Elyon Goyim, the Eibishter made borders for the nations of the world. Says he, Tommy, all the time, all the generations. Hashem made, we know in Parshas Noach, he made Gvulos for the Amim. Lahafrida b'nei Adam, he separated them. Yatsi Gvulos, Amim, the Mitzvah b'nei Israel. For what? For the 70 that were going to come out of the Jewish, for the Jewish people. Says he, his Lashon, everything that happens in this world is for the B'nai Yisrael. As we say, Breishis, Bara, Bishvil, Reishis. But he says, particularly, in a global crisis and world events, we have to understand it's a message for us. It's a message for the Jewish people, whether we're affected directly or indirectly. Number one. So it's not just a question of what's happening to the entire world. It's affecting, as a Jews, we're mechuyev to be mizbonei, and we have to think into it, what is our position? And he has another yesod. We see from Yosef, their brothers, when they were taken down to Mitzrayim, and they were accused, he says, Ashenim anachnu. They didn't look to place the blame on artificial causes. They understood that there was something that they did. We have to look into ourselves. We have to see what's going on and try to somehow take a message from what the Kodesh Baruch was speaking to the entire world. Secondly, it's unbelievable that he speaks mamish about something that happened, and he must be speaking about the depression. It doesn't say explicitly over here, but that's what he was speaking about, Majber Alami. And I would like to tell you what he said then. Whether this would be the Teich now, I don't know. But I think it's very interesting the way he approaches it. He says that, again, that they look for artificial causes, but he understands as follows. Listen to what he says. People are not lending money. Imam speaks like the it's like a credit crunch. People don't want to live to one another. They don't want to lend money to one another. Says he, a chelak arisha of otzus a kesef dinsa b'yadeim shel milyonim pratim of the kupas of Medina of a lot tenua. The money's there. It's in people. It's in the storehouses of the Medinas or in people's hands. Aved ha'imun b'anashim. People have lost faith in one another. Lo ma'aminim zeh lezeh. But often Shaniko Ashray, people don't have to leave one another, they're going to give each other credit. Mamish, these are the words, his words. The actual kiyum mischada asakim, that they will allow for proper business. Habasis a kalkali shalom banu yatsunus asak. The whole world's economy, says, is based on exchange of funds. And people have lost trust. This is what he writes. He must be writing about the Depression or what, something which has happened around that time. So he learns as follows, that the yisod of what was happening then, it's not from a lack of money, but ela biglal matzah imun chaser imun. And he learns as follows, at that time, there was a tremendous, unfortunately, and it's continued, a ruach of kfir in the world. He said the kfir, the lack of imun in a Kaddish Baruch Hu came back one to one, mida kenegen mida, and he responded that the people lost faith in one another. The lack of faith in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, this is what he writes then. The lack of faith in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, fear in the world, leads to lack of imun, trust in other men. That's what he said then. Whether that is the types today, we can't. I just leave you with his words. But he said something else in another place, and I feel that this is, for me, something which is a big chizuk. It's a strength, a tremendous source of strength, and something which we can take positively about what's happening when we see the divine hashgacha, the providence. Listen what he writes. The pasuk says as follows in Hazinu. For Omar, Ehelahemo Sur Chasio Bo. The Abish is going to say, where is their God, the rock in whom they sought refuge, the fat of whose offerings they would eat? Says Rav Khanan, the Pasuk is saying at the end of days, the Jewish people, the Klaiyos, are going to go after Avodah Zarah. They're going to seek Avodah Zarah, and they're going to seek salvation in one, and then it's not going to suffice, it's not going to work. And then they're going to go find in another one. They're going to find, seeking in a different one. They're going to go from one to the next. Listen to his words. Listen to his words. Says he says that Avodah Zarah, which you probably, we're all aware of, doesn't have to be worshipping a stone or an idol. Anything in this world which we think is somehow going to provide for us sustenance, it's going to somehow save us, is a source of Avodah Zarah, because it ain't all Milvada, only there's only a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world. Listen to his words. He says, Ata nizkar kama Avodah Zarah avadnu. Look at the Avodah Zarah that we've worshipped. Mereshit smichas haskala arayom, from the time of the haskala. Afilim naksha brak mishivim shana achroni. Achas la'achas nimso chesed. Liberalism, democratism, he calls it democracy, socialism, communism, nationalism, and each one people put their faith in and they think that it's going to save them, and in the end it's shown to be a balloon. And he says, unfortunately, how many people have given up their lives for all these movements? Didn't George Bush and the French Prime Minister Sarkozy, both of them were quoted, I saw it quoted, we are going to save capitalism. We cannot let capitalism fall. This was the quote last month when they made the $700 billion bailout in America. We have to save capitalism. They had a big conference. Saving capitalism. How are they saving capitalism? Right? For those, well, you see that in America at least there's a big dispute about this. Why? They're using socialism. They're intervening. Anybody knows a little bit? You know, I went to school. Whoever. Paid my dues. Keynesian economics, you know, free markets. Markets are supposed to control themselves, and now all of a sudden the governments have to step in and to avoid a major crisis. And I'm not discussing over the pros and cons. That's not my. I do not claim to know any more about this than anybody else. But one thing is clear to me: capitalism, if it's not got its death knell, we've seen the whole. Anybody who has faith in capitalism, that's going to bring Yeshua to the world, that's going to somehow solve the world's problems, the free spirit, free economy, Adam Smith, of all these things, that they're somehow going to help us. Very nice. We should all have, there should be prosperity in the world. But capitalism per se is another ism that's just shown that it's fallacious. And if you look at that, my dear friends, what else is left? There is nothing else left. And when we see these are all the isms, these are all the Avodah Zarahs that the Klal Yisrael, in this case the entire world, has gone after and thought that it's going to somehow save the world. It's not going to happen. And when you see it, that means we're one step closer. Because as Hashem removes all these klipas, He removes all these different false ideologies, we can all return to the Emunah and the Rabbanu Shalom, which is what we're supposed to have if we want to be Zocheh to Geula. Besides that, there's something about what's happening which disturbs us, I believe, even more than anybody's personal suffering, economic suffering. People are business people. We all know sometimes business goes up, sometimes business goes down. It goes. Cycles. That's not what's disturbing over here. When you can't put your money in the bank, AIG is insurance. That's not speculation. That's not speculators. You can say land speculation. Fine. Banks, mismanagement, insurance. If an insurance company goes, what does that mean? That means there's nothing. That means there's nothing. Let me ask you a question. Let's go back. Let's think about what happened in Mitzrayim. 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't go out, and they died in Makis Choshech. And Rashi says over there, you know why they died? Lo ratzu litzeis. They didn't want to go out. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. It's always bothered me. Why do I want to leave? How can you want to stay there? They got up in the morning. They were slaves. They worked. They were oppressed. We know what every year we chazer exactly what they did to the Yidden of Mitzrayim. That's our whole basis for all of our munas is the Avos of Mitzrayim and the Yetzia from Mitzrayim. 4/5 of the people said, you know, we don't want to go out. Why not? The answer is, l'chora, that if you get up in the morning and you're a slave, you know what you have. You're going to eat. You're not going to eat well. You know what kind of a reality you're dealing with. Mitzrayim was the paradigm. It was the ultimate of civilization at the time. It was the center, the metropolis of the world. You know what you had. So you were never there. But you know what you had. To go out to the Midbar. Let's take Acharei the Midbar, Eretz Yisrael, the big schus, the major schus of the Jewish people was to go out to the Midbar. To go out to the Rabbanu Shalom. To live in the desert. You can't live in the desert. The desert is not a Mokum Yishuv. That's why you make a bracha, right? We pass over deserts. If you go through a desert, you're meant to break and make a bracha. It's not a Mokum Yishuv. It's not a place to live. No, go out to the desert. I'll provide for you. Oh. That's not so pashut. 4/5, unfortunately, didn't understand that they could go with the Rabbanu Shalom. And they couldn't do it. 1/5 was holding it. In our day and age, HaKadosh Baruch was showing us, we have to be prepared for a Midbar. I'm not wishing any calamity on anybody. But if we just see a warning, if we just see what's really there, we have to ultimately place that trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we want a Geula, if we want to somehow leave, if we want to go out of Mitzrayim, Haifik of Mitzrayim, if we want to leave the Golus, we have to be prepared to go to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, that means that all the trappings of security, which we think we have, somehow we have to go beyond that. So if the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent us a little message, you really can't trust your bank. You really can't. And in America, banks are folding. So you have insurance. You don't have insurance. Bear Stearns did not have a quarter of loss all of its history until they fell. Lehman Brothers, 150 years. That's not, you know, a startup. This is the back. I don't know all the names of it. You know, making a little Hamish over here, you know. I know the names of what's going on here. Yeah, but we're still fighting in revolution. It started way back. The kids, what we place our faith in is going. And that's false faith. because we have to face Hashem Baruchim, because we want to be from the 1/5 that are prepared to go out to the Midbar with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, late take Akhara at the Midbar. Now I want to tell you another fascinating thing. Think about it. What happened during Malchus Choshech? During Malchus Choshech, the Yidden who survived had light. They had light. They had ore. And you should know, the Hasidic Meforshim explained that the Malchus correspond inversely to Yasam Amar Shnivah Shemayim Barak. The 10 statements that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. So you know what that means? That means the last 9th Malchus corresponds to Vayhi Or. If you go backwards, the 2nd Maimer is the 9th Malchus. The Yidden was Zaycha to Or. The Mitzrim had Choshech, and the Yidden was Zaycha to Or. And what did they do with that Or? They went and they got the Rechush Gadol. They saw the valuables of the Mitzrim. But you know what else they saw? What's another Pshat Rechush Gadol we say on the Agada? Rechush Gadol is the Torah. They were Zaycha to the Or Aganus, to that hidden Or that the Kodesh Baruch Hu put away. Sheshes Mei Breshis. That's by he or that or was put away for the tzaddik and lost the level. And then there was a bechina. There was an element of or aganah, said him aforeshim, that the yidden was zoicha to already in Mitzrayim. Already in Mitzrayim, they had that hidden or. Because you look at the Ramban, the whole schus, the whole merit for us to leave Mitzrayim, to beforeshim, the psukim betzim, we leave Mitzrayim is only amanas the kabbalas the Torah. It's only in order to receive the Torah. And the entire process of Yetziah was a process, really, of receiving the Torah of Maimon HaSinai. To the extent that the Jews were already holding that Torah is the center and the focus of their lives, that their life revolves around Talmud Torah, if it revolves around supporting a Torah, if it revolves around raising their children and having the entire community to revolve on Torah life. To that extent, they're shy to Maimon HaSinai. You get the Oregonis. The Oregonis is already there in Mitzrayim. Already in Mitzrayim. That, my dear friends, we have to understand. Right now, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to you, I want you to be prepared. I want you to go with me into the Midbar. I want you to put your trust in me to the extent that we put that into action by the Mitzchadik and who we are as Jews and making that the real focus of our lives. Then we are ready to go out. And even now, to the element of the Oregonis. There's another element to this, which I think is also very disturbing. There's financial difficulties, and that's not to be made light of. But I think what goes on in the back of many people's minds, I know it goes back in my mind, what's going to be with the Jewish way of life that we've already built up? The way we function. It's disturbing to think that, you know, everything's sort of like flowing out from underneath us. I'd just like to share with you one thought on this. It's as follows. Avram Avinu had Aser Nisyonos. He had 10 tests. And the first one was Lech Lecha, according to the Tanchuma, the first one was Lech Lecha, and the last one was Lech Lecha. The first one, Lech Lecha Me'atcha, leave where you are. Leave it all behind and go. Come into my world. And Avram Avinu left it all to go to Eretz Yisrael. He left behind all the trappings of where he was. That was first Lech Lecha. What was the last Lech Lecha? The last Lech Lecha is unbelievable. It's something we have to really be mizbonin on and focus on. Avram Avinu has built his whole life preparing for the legacy of the Jewish people, setting that foundation for the Hashem's purpose in this world. And then what happens? Hashem says, okay, Avram, I want you to offer up Yitzchak on the okay. That means everything that Avram has worked for, everything that he perceives as Hashem's rutzin in this world, let go of it. Forget it. We're not doing it. It's over. Can you imagine what it felt like? It was not only his flesh and blood. The essence fact, it was his son. His whole life. Has been serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden Hashem says, no, that's not, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do something else. Can you imagine what that meant? And yet Avraham Avinu was prepared to do that. Which means that he was completely and totally lishma. His whole perception of Yiddishkeit, he had to let go of for the ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem had a different plan. His plan was not necessarily the plan that Avraham Avinu had thought. We go along in life, we think, we have our plans, we have what we perceive is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us, and we're right. It could be 100% right. But occasionally Hashem comes along and says, you know, this is what I want from you. I want you to go this way. The Torah ultimately tells us to perform the Ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, no matter what the situation is. Do we have any way of determining whether we have wealth or whether we have poverty, whether we have health or whether we have the opposite? We have no way of knowing. Our job is to face every nisayon, every circumstance that the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts in front of us, and to say that's the Ratzon of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I have to face it and go with the Shulchan Aruch and go with Hashgafas HaTorah, and that's my life. Not necessarily, and it didn't necessarily have to fit into my own preconception of where I was meant to be going, where my family was meant to be going, where the community is meant to be going. A Kodesh Baruch Hu knows where we have to go. And if we face that, and we understand that, we can have full emunah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to lead us in the right direction. And we will pull together and face the new circumstances with renewed strength. It says, and in that light I'd like to tell you the following thing. When the Jewish people were traveling throughout the Midbar, they were traveling throughout the Midbar, they went to 42 Masois, 42 different spots in the Midbar. And the Mefarshim will want to know, why did the Torah go to such great lengths to tell us every place that the Jews were when they were in the Midbar? And there's different pshatim over there. The Rambam says, to teach you, when they were in the Midbar, don't think that they were next to a place where there was an oasis, or they were next to a place where there was ability to live in an easy way. No. They were in the middle. You look at the places, you'll see there's no oasis there. You see there's no nations that were bordering. They are in the Midbar. Kodesh Baruch Hu was giving them full support. That's the Rambam's pshat. Says the Malbim, he brings down that he brings from one of the Kadmonim that the 42 Masois represent the Shem Mem base of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. One of God's names has 42 letters, and that it spelled out that Shem. The 42, if you look at each letter, it spelled out that Shem. Says the Malbim, do you know what the significance of the Parsha is? That what happened to the Yidden when they went through the Midbar, that has to repeat itself, Bezer Hashem, before the final Gula, because it says that the final Gula will go along the pattern, in the Navi it says the final Gula will go along the pattern that was in Mitzrayim. Just like what the processes that they went through, we will have to repeat before the final redemption. And therefore it's significant for us to hear what they did. It comes out as follows. Number one, according to the Rambam's pshat, in Golus, Hashem's going to provide. Even though we'll be among the nations, we'll be in different places, don't worry. You'll be where a place when it doesn't look like there's going to be a means of sustenance, I will take care of you. No matter where you are. If you're in a place of prosperity or the opposite. I will take care of you. I'll make sure that everything will be alright. You're with me. That's the message, and that's going to be, that's part of the process to bring to the Gula. The second issue, according to the others, is that it spells out the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You hear this? That means each step in the Midbar was somehow one of the letters of God's name. In Golis, the challenges which face the Yidden in Golis differ. If you look, you start to read a little bit of the history of the Jewish people, we hear about what happened in former generations. We see that our lives and their lives are different. We all kept tarayag, but the challenges that they faced, where they had to go, what they had to do are different than ours. And sometimes we think maybe they were greater, but that's not the point. Every step in Golus, every stage, every tachana, every place in the Midbar has a different challenge. And every place spells out one of the letters of God's name. You know what that means? that our generation has its particular challenges. We know we live in a generation with a tremendous challenge today of chinuch. Chinuch abani has become a major issue. Shalom bayis, shiduchim, gerushin, divorce, these things have become a major issue. And now we live in a time, we were living in a time of tremendous shefa, and now all of a sudden there's turbulence. Each takana, each stop in Golus has its challenge. But let's remember one thing. If we live out that challenge and we face that challenge, we are writing one of God's name, one of his letters of his name. That's what we're doing. We're placing God's name in this world. What greater thing could there be? When we face the challenges that come in front of us, we're imprinting this world with one of the shamans of a Kaddish Baruch. And if that's not a great, that's a source of inspiration for us, how we have to face what we're doing, that we for ourselves are showing out who Hashem is in this world and to the entire world in general. We have two of the Shvatim, Yosef Atzadik and Yehuda. Yosef's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seisef. He sanctified God's name in private. He has one of the osios of Hashem's name was added to his name. Yehuda, who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Fahesia, so he's named after Yud Kei Vodka. We have to appreciate that our private lives are such that we have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seisef. In places where nobody can see, in places which are hidden, where there's no cameras, there's no video. We live in a world of video. Everything's on video today, Kevin. Everything's on video. It's great. Everything's become cheapened. You can take pictures of everything. When there's no video camera, there's only the camera of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's where we have to see. We have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That's from Yosef Atzadik. And as Yehudim, we all wear our kepala, we go to work, we go out to the marketplace, we go in our communities, with the nations of the world look at us as we perform, as communities and as we perform in Eretz Israel, and they say, what are the Jews doing? That kepala means that you stand as a Jew. You're a Yehudi, you're a Jew. Jew means Yehudi. And when you're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim, you're showing Hashem's name out to the world. What greater sense of purpose, what greater sense of challenge and exhilaration that we can have as Jews than when we take the challenges which are in front of us and we move forward, both in our private lives, in our communal lives, and our national lives. That's the challenge. Accept what a Kaddish Baruch Hu has dealt us. We can't change that. We're not going to influence how Hashem is taking the world and shaking it up and down. But what we can know is when we do our part, we'll be putting in one of the osios, one of the letters of Hashem's name in the Mem Beis. And if Ezra Hashem, just like the Yidden, went through the Midbar and then came into Eretz Israel, that's why we will one day be redeemed. The Bias a girl, be inherently a man.